Okay. Church and state. Okay. So then here the might be a couple heresies in here. We'll have to see. The church and state is the relationship between church and state, chapter 64. There are three basic societies. Somebody's fancy handwriting there. Yeah. Okay. The building block of society is an imperfect society. One imperfect society. And that is the family. So the family is an imperfect society. Then there are two perfect societies. So there's one imperfect society, which is the building block of the two perfect societies. So it goes into the two perfect societies, which are the church and the state. These societies are called perfect. So the church is a perfect society, and the state is a perfect society. The family is an imperfect society. Imperfect and perfect. The word perfect means complete, so that it has everything it needs inside of itself in order to fulfill its goals. So we are perfect if we have all the things we need within ourselves in order to fulfill or achieve our goals. The family is an imperfect society because it does not have what it needs inside of itself to achieve its goals. For instance, the purpose of a family is to have children that are members, positive members of society, and who are going to go to heaven. And if a family does not have the tools to bring a child to heaven or to make a child a perfect member of the state. So it requires a help on the outside. You have to bring the child to the priest to be baptized, or else the child doesn't go to heaven. You need the church. Or you have to bring the child that's to be brought up in a society, in a country, in order to be able to live and fulfill his role. So that the family is the imperfect building block of the two perfect societies. It is the incomplete, which is made complete by belonging to the church and made complete by belonging to the state. The church is one perfect society, which means it's complete inside of itself. The state is another perfect society, which means it is complete inside itself. And then these two societies have the two different goals. We say a perfect society is able to achieve its goals. Family cannot achieve its goals without the help of church and state. You're supposed to have children go to heaven. Without church, can't get them to heaven. Without state, can't get them jobs, and so on. So with regard to the church's goal is the salvation of souls. That's its goal. The goal of society is the common good. Common good does not mean that which is good for the most number of people. It means that which is good for the community. That which is good for the society. So if the most number of people prefer abortion over non-abortion, that's not a good for the society. It's not for the common good. So it has nothing to do with numbers, or at least not directly to do with numbers. The perfect society is, the state is, its object is to promote the common good. The church's object is to promote the salvation of souls. Now the church has all the tools it needs inside of itself to achieve the salvation of souls. We got Pope, bishops, priests, sacraments, the catechism, the faith. We have everything we need from Christ. So there's no need of help from the state in order for the church to achieve its goals. The state, however, is in a slightly different position. We say that it is a perfect society, but it is a subordinate society. It is a society which has the goal of the common good. And it can, in a limited way, achieve the common good without the help of the church. That is, it has its own king or president or whatever the ruler is. It has its own army, has its own, mayor and all the way down the line, the different hierarchies of the government, the bureaucracy of the government. It has all the things it needs in order to maintain the producing of money and so on.
to maintain a government, to maintain a state, without the help of other states, without the help of the church. But there is a problem in that the state, its goal is the common good, the good of the community. And there is a certain aspect of the good which involves the supernatural. And so that is that the state cannot achieve the common good if it does not promote Catholic worship. Or it doesn't promote the right kind of worship, which is Catholic worship. It doesn't lead souls in such a way it's supposed to facilitate souls going to heaven. It doesn't make it possible for souls to directly go to heaven, but it facilitates it, such as making laws against divorce and laws against abortion and laws against things that are contrary to the divine law. So while the state is considered a perfect society like the church, it is not a perfect society in the same way as the church. And therefore we say that the church and the state, because of this, because of the fact that they are ruling the same person, there's one person that is a member of the church and a member of the state, a member of the state and church. Since one person belongs to both state and church, the state and the church cannot be separated, just like a person should not be separated inside of himself. I don't have one part of me that goes to church and another part that goes to work. I am one person that do two different things. There's a distinction in what I do, but there cannot be a separation. So the Catholic Church teaches, one, the perfect state is a perfect and complete society, which, strictly speaking, does not need the church to fulfill its goals. Two, however, the state cannot be separated from the church because it indirectly needs the church to fulfill its goals. So directly it doesn't, but indirectly it does. It needs the guidance of the church. It needs a church just to, when the state does something stupid or wrong, say, for instance, approving of abortion or approving of divorce, it is the duty of the church to step in and say, state, you are wrong when you approve of divorce. You are wrong when you approve of abortion. The church has the right to step in to the state. But the state does not have the right to step into the church. But the church does have the right to step into the state. The reason why it only works one way is that the church is higher than the state. Because our hierarchy, what is important depends on the hierarchy of our ends. Salvation of souls is more important than the common good. Therefore, what the church does is more important than what the state does. Therefore, if there is a conflict between church and state, church wins in the ideal society. Church wins, state submits, even though the state in a certain way operates quasi on its own. One of the heresies that is common in our country is the belief of the separation in church and state, which no Catholic can believe in. All Catholics are obliged in conscience to believe that church and state cannot be and should not be separated. In fact, we discover in practice that it's impossible. Here's an example of a non-separation of church and state. When you give me a $500 donation, it's tax deductible. That means the state is going to give you a deduction because you gave money to the church. There's a connection then between church and state. If you steal inside of the church $1 million from a guy who carried it in his briefcase in church, you can be arrested in the United States. If there was a true separation and perfect separation of church and state in the United States, then if you murdered someone in this building, you could not be arrested by the government because we're separated. You would have to be arrested by the church police. We don't have any church police. So in practice, even though America says we believe in separation of church and state, there isn't a separation of church and state. In fact, there can't be. There can't be a practical separation of church and state because this church is inside the state. It's just not possible. Remember the complaint against George Bush in his recent, they wanted to give vouchers for schools, religious schools, faith-based schools. They said, well, that violates separation of church and state. Well, so does absolutely everything else we do. For instance, it's a major violation of church and state, which bothered me very greatly, the very fact that I have to ask those morons in Arapahoe County for permission to build a church. Now, if there is truly separation of church and state, I should not, as a priest and a member of the church, have to ask the county to give me permission to build a church here. And I shouldn't have to pay for those stupid permits and all that other kind of stuff. if there is truly a separation of church and state, I can't get a speeding ticket. It's happened. Now, the thing is, so the fact is that in practice, in our world, there is no separation of church and state, even though one of America's tenets of its foundation is that there really is. We believe in the separation of church and state. Well, we don't. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. The state makes laws about the church. For instance, every religion is okay in the United States. That's a law about churches, which means there's no separation between church and state. If there is a separation, then the church does nothing to do with whether or not you can practice any religion. So if we go and kill somebody in another church, that's between us and that other church. You see, if there's true separation. But there is not and there cannot be, and it is completely absurd and irrational to think that there should be. It's just not rational. There can't be separation between church and state. There is a distinction which must be maintained between church and state. But there cannot be a separation. The church does not make speed limit laws, and the state has no right to make religious and spiritual laws. So there is a distinction, but there cannot be a separation. Since there can't be a separation, the question arises, when two things are not separate, they have a relationship one to another. This relationship is a hierarchical relationship. An equal relationship cannot exist inside of two members of the same body. My hand is in a certain place where my head is not. My feet is in a certain place where my hand and my head are not. There has to be a relationship. When you go inside of any business, there's the boss, and then there's the plebes. There is always going to be a relationship of hierarchy in order for anything to work. The police officer turns his sirens on, it means you pull over. A guy behind you honks 50 times, it means you don't, unless you want to pull over and get in a fight or something. But you don't have to. But when the police officer turns the siren on, why? Because the police officer has the right to do that. He has a hierarchy. He is above us when it comes to being out on maintaining the law. There's a hierarchy. So likewise, if the church and the state cannot be separated, and they can't be, it's impossible, one of them has to be above the other. There's only two options. Either the state is above the church, or the church is above the state. In the United States and in all modern governments, the state is above the church. That's the way it is. We're not separated. It's above the church. The state makes laws. It says it's illegal for a religious member of the, for a man of religion to stand up and speak out against homosexuality. That's already in the law books. In fact, and I forget the state, but it might be Michigan or Oregon, it's illegal to read a passage from the Bible, not preach, read a passage from the Bible publicly which says homosexuality is bad. So all you're doing is reading from the Bible. Not giving your own interpretation on it, just reading it. It's illegal. So that's a making of a law in which the state is above the church. Or making churches equal, and the state's the one that says all religions are equal. That means that the state is above the church. So that's one option. Or that no religion is legal, such as in communist Russia. We're going to wipe out all religion. Either way, state above the church depends on the mood of the state, what it's going to do. The other option is that the church is above the state. And this is the obviously correct option because of the fact that God is above natural things. And the church is directly related to God, whereas the state is related to money and natural physical things. We have a connection to physical things, but we're not about physical things. So we use money to build churches. We use money to build schools. We have physical buildings. There are physical aspects of the Catholic Church, vestments, and so on. But it's not what the church is about. It is about spiritual things, and it uses material things, whereas a state is about material things, and it has need of spiritual things. So there, that which is more spiritual is going to be higher than that which is more material. The state is more related to the material, therefore it is under the church. The church is more related to the spiritual, therefore it's above the state. And that's the correct relationship. The church and state cannot be separated. One of them has to be above the other. In the United States and in all Western countries, the state is what is above the church at this time, and has been for several hundred years. And the way it should be is the other way around. The church above the state. so that the church has the power not to interfere in everything in the state. Now remember, with regard to authority, authority is often misunderstood in our day and age. We believe in our day and age that authority is like tyranny. If I am the boss and I tell you, you have to bang your nose against that wall 27 times, then you have to do it. That's the modern view of authority. The Catholic view of authority is not like that. From the Catholic view of authority, we believe that any authority has authority within the parameters of his authority, within the parameters of his work, but not outside that. So if I, as a priest, even though I am above the state as a member of the church, if I go out to a policeman and say, you should not give that man a ticket, I forbid you to give that man a ticket because he's my brother. Now, the officer can say, that's very interesting, Father, I'll take it into consideration. You got a stinking ticket. The officer, who is a Catholic officer in a Catholic society, does not have to listen to the Catholic priest when it comes to giving tickets. Except he can never give me one. Other than that, he cannot do that. He doesn't have to listen to every single word. There's not a tyrannical authority. The Pope cannot decide what the speed limits are going to be in South Africa or in Georgia. He can't decide what they're going to be. But he can make decisions which are related to the morality. And he can say to the government of Georgia and the government of South Africa that you cannot allow abortion, and if you do legalize abortion, I am releasing all of your subjects from obeying you. Popes have done that several times in history. Pope Emperor Henry II, that was done to him by St. Gregory VII, St. Gregory Nazianzen, St. Gregory VII, Hildebrand, St. Hildebrand, that he did that. And other popes in history have done that as well. For the sake of the preservation of the good of souls, if there is a grave harm being done to the common good, the church can step in and say, no more of this. But the state does not have to listen, even in the Catholic society, to everything that the church says. Only those things that are connected to morality and which the church clearly says are connected to morality, and that if you can't make a law that says a divorce is okay in a Catholic society, can't do that. Because you know that you cannot have, or at least remarriage. There can be special cases in which there can be separation, but there can never be a case in which there can be a remarriage. And so, of a valid marriage. So if there's a valid marriage, there cannot be a remarriage. If there's an invalid marriage, well, then there's no marriage, so it doesn't matter. So you're free to get married. But if there's a true valid marriage, then there cannot be a remarriage. And so those are examples where there's going to be constant interaction between church and state. We have active interaction between church and state with regard to elections, and we have the candidates going and visiting the various churches and giving talks about what they're going to do, trying to get the religious vote. It is impossible to live in any society without a connected church and state. And that's not only in a Catholic society, that's also the case in all societies. Even in the society of the various American Indian tribes, or the people of Indian Asia, or of Africa, or of Europe before the Catholics came, it was always the same. There was always a connection between the religious and the civil. They were never separated. Sometimes the connection wasn't the most beautiful connection because of infestation of Satanism and so on, but there was always a connection. It is unique to the modern American society and to the eras of the French Revolution and so on, that there be this teaching that the church and the state must be separated and run independently. Can't happen. Greatest example of that is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If he was only condemned by the church, he would not have been crucified. And if he was only condemned by the state, he wouldn't have come to a condemnation, then it wouldn't have happened either. It was a connection between the church and state that brought about his crucifixion. And also, he claimed hierarchy over both of them. He was condemned in the church for being God, and he claimed to be God. He was condemned by the state for being king, and he claimed to be king. So, he claimed kingship, which was unacceptable to the state. He claimed divinity, which was unacceptable to the church. And therefore, he was condemned by both. And the true church, which of course is the Catholic Church, whatever the true church is, must make the same claims of Jesus Christ. has to make the same claims. That is, that we are of God, and that there is a connection to us in society, that all society, all the states in the world, should give public honor and glory to God in the correct way by Catholic ritual and Catholic faith. And so there has to be, because the common good cannot be served if souls are not being saved. And if it is a common good in which it isn't beneficial, if it's a common good that doesn't make it easy for souls to be saved, but rather a common good, quote unquote common good, that makes it difficult for souls to be saved, which is the common good, the quote unquote common good, the false common good, that the modern societies are striving after. Common good that allows all things except truth and goodness. Everything else is acceptable. So, there can't be a separation of church and state. The relationship between church and state is, they are distinct, but they cannot be separate. And so, in any case, we'll close it at that. Oh, excuse me, we've got a few minutes. The regard to some heresies here. See, this is one of the couple of chapters which are really not the greatest in this book. But nonetheless, you know, it's... the service of the church to the state here, of course, you know, there's the benefit of the church to the state. St. Justin Martyr writes about that to the Romans, to the, I think it was Emperor Trajan at the time, because he lived around the year 100, and early 100s, and I think it was Emperor Trajan that he wrote his letter of St. Justin Martyr. And one of the points that he tried to make to the emperor was how beneficial the church is to the state. That our Catholics are better citizens. They're better citizens because they're told not to steal and cheat, and they're told to be honest, and that's beneficial to the Roman government. And that that if the state wants to improve, there's no better way to improve than having more and more good Catholic citizens inside of that state. And this, for many other reasons, St. Justin Martyr pointed out that the Catholic faith is not detrimental to the Roman society. They didn't believe him, so they martyred him anyway. But nonetheless, he wrote in around the year 100, defending the Catholic faith, and he defended it in such a way as to show that Catholic soldiers, Catholic mayors, Catholic lawyers, Catholic judges, they are the best judges in Rome, the best lawyers in Rome, the best soldiers in Rome, and that's the case in that therefore it's very beneficial to the Roman society to allow Catholics to exist in their society. Allow the followers of Christ to exist, and it is detrimental to the society to try to eradicate them. And Emperor Trajan, went ahead and had St. Justin Martyr martyred anyway. But in any case, that's sufficient there, and then we'll go on to the authority of the church. We'll just go ahead and close with a prayer here. Wrong direction. The Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Lady of Victory, Lady of Sorrows, Lady of Christians, St. Ignatius, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.